We're starting?
Yeah, we're starting. Hello. Yeah,
I'll just start with this.
Hi.
Oh, you're starting.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Catherine Marson, and I am 16 years old. And today, on 13th. Wednesday, the 13th of December, 2017, I'm here with Michael Dumont, who is my boyfriend. And we are recording in San Reno, California. Okay. What are your pronouns?
My pronouns are he and him.
And do you have a preferred name?
Michael.
Nice. So tell me about your parents.
Just in general?
Yeah, like what was it like growing up with like them and their influences on you?
Okay, well, I'd say I'm very influenced by both of them, obviously my mom and my dad. They're very different people, and so I see like them and what they would do and a lot of things I would do, but I've always seen it as a fairly balanced composition of both my mom and dad. My mom and dad, like I said earlier, very different people. My dad has always been more of a go-getter, get this done now, if you want a job done right, do it yourself type of guy.
Yeah.
My mom has always been, not that my dad is disorganized at all, because he's also very organized, but my mom is more of like a set things up, he start this thing one day.
Premeditated.
Yeah, premeditated maybe. And so I feel like I've gotten, like, I do both at different times, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will, some days I'll be like, this has got to happen right now, I have to do it right now, or else no one will ever do it, and everything will fail. And sometimes it'll be like, I have to start this now because I have this much time the next day, and I have to tell my partner what to do just to make sure that he stays on top of it, and he'll tell me what to do so I stay on top of it more. Like you said, premeditated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned both, I guess I consider them like skills or like just different strategies, I guess, at approaching problems. So that's sort of what growing up, I guess I should talk more about actually growing up.
If you like.
Yeah. So growing up, I'm still growing up. I am 18.
Mm-hmm.
I'm legally adult, which is a lie. But
legally.
Growing up as a little kid, I remember both my parents working very hard, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, when I was little, like from like birth to, I mean, obviously not right after birth, but from like when I was a young age, like preschool to sixth, seventh, I had a nanny, and I can name them. All the nannies I've had, there was Hilda, who was pretty much like a second mother to me. She was one of the sweetest people, nicest people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
She cared for my brother and sister too. There was Annie. She was sort of funny. She drove a Mustang, and I thought that was the coolest thing, to get picked up in like fifth grade by a red Mustang. And there was Elsa, who was Jack, my best friend Jack's nanny also. And so since we were pretty much neighbors, we would spend a lot of time together, and she just became my nanny as well. And then after Elsa, there's Archie, who at that point I was like, a little embarrassing, but I was like in seventh, eighth, ninth grade.
Really?
And so both my parents worked, so I didn't have a way to get around except the bus.
Yeah.
And so Archie would drive me places like martial arts or rehearsals or stuff like that. And by that time I was a lot more mature, so I got to be like a lot closer with her on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I can find my way around now. I can
drive,
make my own snacks.
Yes.
I can't drive very
juice boxes.
Much. Yeah, I make pack my own juice box.
Nice.
But so that growing up, definitely, I had a lot of different nannies that played a very big part in my life. Again, I'm not talking about my parents, which I should answer the question.
Okay, you can do whatever you
my
want.
My parents growing up, my dad and my mom. It was sort of like. People like, I guess, like, it's not true all the time now, but like you watch movies and like old time movies, and the mom's always like the sweet, like coddling one, like, oh, it'll be fine, don't worry, and the dad is just the stern one.
Yeah.
But off, like, a lot of the times I see it's the opposite. Like, I would, like, if I had to tell my dad, if I had to tell one of my parents that I broke something, I would.
What?
No, that's not fair to say. But in my head, I was less afraid to tell my dad than my mom.
I can still see that.
Yeah. Today. And so, growing up, my relationship with my mom and my dad, my relationship with both my parents was really similar. I saw them both really as equals because they're both my parents. But I remember doing a lot of things as a family, which I really appreciate now that I'm older. Like, because we ate dinner for sure every single Sunday together as one big family, which was when I was growing up, my brother, my sister, my grandma, papa, my other grandma sometimes, well, Beth, because she's just around the corner, and my mom and my dad. And so we had, there was like a defined family unit, like that would meet up at least every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I remember both my parents working really hard to make home like a nice place for us to be.
Mm-hmm.
How much time should I spend on this question?
If you want to be done.
No, I can keep going. My parents put a lot of effort into family time, I guess.
Yeah.
So like, even dinner, my mom would go work so hard for dinner. She would make dinner for like us when we got home. And then when my dad got home later, because he always got home late from work, she would make dinner with him and have dinner with him and papa.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother would sometimes eat in between because he was in high school at that point already. But I remember a lot of like family trips. Like we'd go to Disneyland every winter and for Christmas, and that was like a big trip of the year. We would go to New Hampshire to visit family there, not every summer, but like enough where it was a tradition.
Yeah.
And so I remember a lot of like family time.
Yeah.
And spending time with my brother and sister and my mom and dad and my grandmothers. So I remember that was a big part of growing up, was these influence of all these older people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's enough for that question.
Okay.
Thank you.
So can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life as of now?
I'm just like tired all the time, but that doesn't count right now. One of the most difficult moments. I'm trying to think of like a good answer. One of the most difficult moments. I mean, let's see.
I mean, if you don't have one, that's like really awesome.
No. I mean, like there are. I'm just trying to think of one.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, Lucy, my dog dying, was very difficult for the whole family because she had been, she died, geez, like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you ever met her, no? Yeah, she was a sweet dog. She was like 15. She was an old dog.
Very old for a
dog. Yeah, very old mutt.
It's like with you for a very long time.
Yeah, she was like basically like, it would be like
a loss of a family member.
Yeah, it was like, if I died, that's how old Lucy was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she, because we showed up around like the same age, so we were like head to head.
Aww.
But
it's a cute sibling.
Yeah, I mean like sibling that didn't talk and like ate and infused love.
Mm-hmm.
But difficult moment, Lucy dying. She had been difficult moment, Lucy dying. She had dog cancer. Just cancer. But so that whole period was really stressful for my father, especially because he had to deal with all the medical stuff and driving her back and forth. But also like he and I, like my sister was like freaking out all the time too because Lucy was pretty much her dog from the start. But my father and I both, because my sister was off at college, Chris was living by himself at that point. So it was pretty much my mom, my dad, and I taking care of Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my dad and some of more of me, because I would come home first. So if something happened, I would deal with it, or my dad would deal with it. But it was just a really hard process, I guess, the whole time, because it was, she died slowly. It was obviously a painful death for her.
Mm-hmm.
And
did she get put down?
No, she didn't. She died, actually. And so that was also a difficult decision, I think, on my dad's part.
Mm-hmm.
and for the whole family, because I don't think my dad would ever have been able to put Lucy down, to kill Lucy like that.
Yeah.
But, and so his thinking was, Lucy has been so good to us, we should be good to her for as long as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was up until that point. So that was sort of where we were. Lucy was getting progressively worse. She was, like, she was not getting up. She would sit down the whole day.
Yeah.
She wouldn't eat. Mm-hmm. And so one day she just died. She went to sleep, didn't wake up again.
Who found
her? DEAD. It was Sunday morning. So my mom, I think, found her. My dad and I were both at church. So she called us. We came over.
Yeah.
And my sister and my brother, I think, were already home.
Mm.
And so that was rough. The weird thing was, like, everyone was crying. For some reason, I didn't cry.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I told you that. But it was just, like, I was so emotionally exhausted at that time because I've, like, at least for me, Lucy had been dying for a long time already.
Yeah.
And so it was, I didn't really know how to feel at that point, I guess. But it was hard to watch the rest of my family because my sister was absolutely distraught.
Yeah.
My brother was absolutely distraught. My dad, you don't see my dad cry very often, mm-hmm. but he does. And my mom was probably the closest to where I was at that point.
Yeah.
She sort of saw it coming as well. And not like the rest of my family did, but it was like that.
Yeah, that, I had the same thing happen to me. Okay, well,
it's a long one.
Yes, it is a long one. We can skip that one. Well, what is the, like, this one can be like quick, like, what is the, tell me about a historical event that, like, impacted your life the most.
Like, in my lifetime?
No, whatever, like, whatever you, like, saw you, like, impacted you.
Historical moment
in
my life. So, like, it could have happened a long time ago.
Absolutely.
Historical moment. Can I come back to that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep that in the back of my head.
Okay, so what is your sexual orientation?
I am straight.
Heterosexual male. Yeah,
I'm a heterosexual man.
Nice. How has that shaped your view of yourself and others in your community, and then just, like, the general human community, and how, like, you're...
How has it shaped my view? How has being straight shaped my view of...
Like, your inner circle, and then the most outer circle of, like, the known universe that you have.
Interesting question. Well, I guess, first of all, being straight, and I am of the majority population, mm-hmm. obviously, but I also, I live in a very diverse community, so I see a lot of different people, a lot of different orientations, a lot of different thoughts and beliefs.
Yeah.
And so, I think being in that type of community helps me realize that there's a world outside of my own.
Yeah.
And that there are all these different paths that people have, that people walk in life,
mm-hmm.
aside from my own straight, male, white, Asian, wealthy community path that mm-hmm. I walk, because that's where I got plopped down as.
Yeah.
And so I think that helps me appreciate, I'm trying to think of the words. It helps me appreciate the life I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting more into socioeconomic, I guess, but also, like,
yeah,
it's hard being non-conforming.
Yeah.
And so, but also it's helped me be, I think, more sympathetic to those that don't have the same orientation, outlook, beliefs
mm-hmm.
as I do, because I see these people on a daily basis. I see different people of different socioeconomic classes, people of different sexual orientations, people of different races
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis. And I think to myself, I don't, like, think, I'm, like, bisexual. No, I'm just like, I just think, like,
another person.
It's yeah, I'm not saying, like, oh, I don't see race, I'm, like, a better person than you.
That's, yeah, I get that.
No, I definitely see a black person when I see a black person. I see an Asian person. I'm trying to more say that it's more immediate in my life, which has helped me to acknowledge that there are other people out there,
mm-hmm.
appreciate that there are other people out there and how to work with different types of people, I guess. How to understand where other people are coming from and be compassionate and sympathetic.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of in a queer relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, you are.
I know.
Yes. Okay, so what ethnicities are you? Okay.
I am white, European,
mm-hmm.
and Asian, Burmese,
yeah.
Myanmar. My dad is white, and my mom is Asian.
Cool. Aside from these labels, how has your skin color affected you?
I am white. I'm definitely white passing, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess I would white privilege, all that stuff. I'm not dark student at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am a healthy tan at most.
Has the shape of your eyes affected anything in your life?
Not really. People say, oh, you have cool eyes.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you. But, like, the weirdest I've gotten is, like, exotic, which is, like,
wow.
A fun word.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just because of the connotation and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's not something I really think about. I just sort of blow it off.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, I feel like there's can be moments, like, even for me that I've experienced, like, you look something and then you can't, like, feel that other part. Like, your eyes look Asian, but the rest of you is pretty holistically white.
Yeah.
And, like, has that ever conflicted with your identity?
I wouldn't say I've ever had, like, a revelation. It's like, oh. It's more that just I've worked on what my identity is and
mm-hmm.
being comfortable with what it is. And what I am is I am ethnically Asian and white. I'm 50%, just no matter what I look like, what my eyes or my skin looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I know more about American culture than Burmese culture, but I feel this duty to learn more about Burmese culture because I want to be informed on where my family came from and what parts make up me. I want to know more about the culture that
mm-hmm.
half of me came from.
Yeah.
Half of me came from Chicago. I'd love to know more about Chicago. Half of me came from Yangon and Myanmar. I want to learn more about Myanmar.
Cool.
And so I've never had maybe as much of a conflict as other people have, but I've definitely had a process
yeah.
of learning more, of becoming more informed about my family history
mm-hmm.
and being more accepting of what I am, what makes me up, and being okay with it being a process and it being a journey and not being like, oh, I wish I had darker skin and like darker eyes and stuff. Like, I wish I was more Asian, which is like, I think it'd be like a weird thing to wish you were more something else in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, that weird one thing, like it's just a weird thing to like wish you were another
race.
Cause
yeah.
Especially if like you're a white person wishing you were, it's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm fine with the way I look. I don't wish that I was anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the fact that I come from two different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But I think learning about other cultures is one of the most amazing things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad I have a head start on that.
Speaking of cultures,
mm-hmm.
Aside of the cultures assigned to you at birth, so like American and Burmese, like
mm-hmm.
what cultures outside of that do you identify with?
I guess like the San Gabriel Valley. I mean, like, what do you mean by assigned? Like ethnically?
Yeah, so like I was assigned when I was born, I'm
mm-hmm.
like, okay, I'm white.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Germany, so I'm both American and German.
Mm-hmm.
And that culture is, like, something I've grown up in and doing that. But I also, like, associate with, like, Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've also grown up, like, kind of, like, in Chinese, like, places, I guess. This isn't China, obviously, but you know
what I
mean.
We have a very ethnically large Chinese population.
Yes, we do. But, like, that was kind of what I meant. Like, something
okay.
that you're not, that you also feel like you can be with.
Well, I mean, like you touched on earlier, I grew up in a very diverse area, very specifically like Asian areas, Taiwanese, Chinese.
Yeah.
And so, not that I'm like, oh, I know everything about Chinese culture. I'm like just because I like Bola. But I'm more trying to get, like, I can, I guess, know a lot of food.
Yeah. It's a culture that you respect
yeah.
and know.
I know. I feel like I'm definitely exposed to it.
Yeah.
I have more opportunities to appreciate it mm-hmm. than I think other people do that don't grow up in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that. So I guess in that sense, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I guess, well, what was the question in communities or
well,
cultures?
How, like, the culture that you've grown up with, like, aside from your mm-hmm. two, like, how has that, like, those, what are those, and, like, how has it changed you as a person to be, like, a little bit different? Because, you know,
okay.
if you didn't grow up in a place with boba, then you wouldn't
yeah,
have
you
boba.
Wouldn't love, you wouldn't like boba. Yeah.
yeah.
So, I like boba. I like a lot of food. I think living here helps that because there's so many different options to eat, like anything you want.
Absolutely.
I should probably stop talking about food. Also cool because LA has one of the largest Burmese population outside of Burma, which is cool.
I didn't know that.
I mean, in the US at least.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, but if you want to call musicians a culture, I definitely grew
yeah.
into that because like, especially jazz musicians, it's weird. Like, it's so weird. Like, we still talk like it's the 1940s, and like no one really bats an eye. But like, if you like looked at a conversation out, it would be like, what? Why the hell? Who still calls someone a cat?
Oh no! Is it real? Is that?
I'm not even joking. Yeah.
Oh no.
Especially mostly comes from my teacher, like Lee. He has the best like phrases.
Mm-hmm.
One day he said like cooler than the other side of the pillow. I was like, oh my god, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
How has that, like, affected your identity?
I definitely think among, I mean, being in that community, you're definitely allowed to, like, sort of, it's like an overused word, like, curate. But, like, you're allowed to, like, geek out together about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, these sort of jokes, like, inside jokes, with them that you wouldn't necessarily have otherwise. It is sort of like being part of a community, and like
yeah.
if you practice it, if you belong to it, if you listen to it, it's something that you can get with. Yeah. I don't know, I'm doing a poor job at answering this question, I think, so maybe we can skip it.
I mean, totally. So I know this from previous conversations
mm-hmm.
that you feel privileged.
Yeah.
When have you, like, seen and acknowledged your own privilege?
Seen and acknowledged my own privilege.
It could be just,
privilege.
Like, one example if you want.
Uh-huh. Well, one, I'm pretty sure Mrs. Maines gave all the Asian kids, like, B's on a paper, but I got an A. I'm kidding. I shouldn't have said that. Don't turn that in.
Okay.
Just
keep going.
Shh. I shouldn't have said that. That's debatable. Shit. Whoops. When have I feel privileged? I mean, like, you look at the news.
Yeah.
It's, like, people... you also have to take into, like, stuff getting blown up by the media, but, like, the majority of shootings you hear about, the majority of violence, it's, like, it's other cultures. It's other ethnicities. It's black people, not white people. It's Asian people, not white people. It's that's where you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you were saying, like, you get scared walking down the street sometimes, people will look at you. I don't experience that.
Yeah.
It's not even in my mind if I'm walking down Colorado Street.
Yeah.
And so that's where, those, like, talking with you, talking with other people, talking with my friend Mikey, who lives in El Monte,
mm-hmm.
Those are the moments where I'm like, I live a different and objectively easier life than some people.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced, like, oppression? Like, not necessarily, like, oh, I've literally been oppressed in this situation, but
mm-hmm.
just kind of, like, a prejudice against you or oppression.
I mean, like, there's this stuff like, oh, you're not Asian enough to call yourself Asian. Or, no one's ever told me too white to call myself Asian. That's never... Wait, no one's ever called me, like, too Asian to call myself white. That's never been
yeah.
a thing. It's always been that. And
mm-hmm.
so, like... That's the thing. And that was the part of, like, the process, I guess, of being like, I don't really care what you say. I am what I am. I acknowledge that I can know more, but I'm also in the process of learning more. So I'm okay with you saying that because I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to affect me. That was the oppression question, right?
Yeah.
I've never been like, you can't do this because you don't look Asian, or you can't do this because you're mixed, or you can't do this because you're straight. No one has ever gone as far to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the what?
That's good.
No, it's part of being a white passing male in a wealthy community.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happens. And I try to acknowledge that. I don't always sometimes, but I think it's important to self-reflect and try to make right in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the moments where I'm like, yeah, I don't really acknowledge. I acknowledge that they said that. It would be stupid to like, oh, I didn't hear you. But the question was feeling oppression. I guess if you wanted to call that, those were the moments when someone has been like, someone has tried to rag on me about something like that. And in those moments, I just try to say that I understand that you're not trying to be malicious most of the time, because no one has ever been trying to be malevolent in that fashion towards me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not right. It's not. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's. I mean, like, it's getting cold, exotic at an airport. I was like, that's a little weird.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
you didn't mean it in a malevolent fashion. I'm not gonna freak out, but I'm also not gonna continue to take that.
Yeah. Different question. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about God?
God? Oh, boy. So I guess right now, is this going to be like a typed essay? Like, you're going to quote me? Damn. Okay. Well, fuck it. Don't quote that. I'm sorry, Miss X.
Mrs. Redmond.
Thoughts on God. You chose these questions thinking you're going to interview me, didn't you?
No.
No? Damn it.
You don't have to answer if you don't
want to. No, I can.
And thoughts? We have 17 minutes left.
Okay. Thoughts on God. Da-da-da-da-da. It's sort of been, like I said, it's been a process.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my identity in that sense has been a process. My identity with God or in religion in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's also been a process. When I was little, I loved going to church. I got to spend time with my dad. I would pass out like little pamphlets with my dad and as an usher. And I would be like a little baby usher. I would eat donuts after church. It was a great time.
It's a good time.
I got to sing. I sung with my dad. It was fun.
Mm.
Got to listen to this old guy talk, and he was sort of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've grown up, it's not that I've gotten like more introspective or like science has made me awakened.
Yeah.
But sorry, that was a stupid answer. But it's just that I've maybe had more time to think about it critically.
Mm-hmm.
And I've like one of the biggest revelations was that like had my mom like just decided that I wanted to be Buddhist, because my mom is Buddhist.
Yeah.
I would believe none of this. I would be Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
I would be something completely different. And that's literally the only thing that would have changed.
Yeah.
Just a decision. There's no, like, grand truth.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no grand destiny that I was going to be born a Christian and I was going to die a Christian. I was going to... And so that was probably, like, the thing. I mean, I came to that realization like a couple of years ago. It wasn't like bam, thunderbolt, oh my God. But it was more of like, it was something that I sort of developed in my head over time. And especially like going to Burma this summer and going to Myanmar and like seeing this whole different nation of literally just Buddhist. I thought the same thing, like the reason that all these people are Buddhist is because they were born into a Buddhist nation.
Yeah.
Just like the reason that all these people that I was born Christian was because I got baptized Christian was because my dad was Christian and I was just baptized Christian. And so that's been something that's been part of the process. And I guess, sorry, relationship, what was the question again?
It was just kind of what your thoughts are.
Thoughts are, I see it a lot in other people. I see religion a lot in other people, and it's something that I want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
because it's a community I grew up in one way or another, whether it be Buddhist or whatever, Christianity or anything. And so it's a community that I like the people in, at least in my church.
Yeah.
I play in the band every weekend. I've made friends with all the workers there. It's a community I spend a lot of time in, so I'd like to be able to relate to this defining factor of the community.
Yeah.
But like, it's this weird thing. Like, I see it a lot of other people, but I don't necessarily feel it in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something I can relate to in that sense, and it's something I try to participate in. But it feels like something is missing sometimes, and it's just odd. It's disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been doing this for a long enough time. Shouldn't I be, like, you know, getting the hang of it, sort of?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's one person that has helped me through it most, even though he's not here anymore. His name is Jason. He was my youth pastor when I was in middle school. Moved to, like, some frozen state up north. But his thing was that it's a journey. I think that's where I get a lot of that from Jason. It's a process. You may not always believe in it. You may die not believing in it. You may die being born again. But the important thing is it's a journey, and that you answer these questions for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I went through confirmation with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the most important thing about confirmation is asking these questions.
Yeah.
He says, a lot of people, fully grown adults, they never ask themselves these questions.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing I learned most, is to ask the big questions. And what do I really believe in right now? And so I guess what I believe in right now is that I'm in the process of looking, and I'm trying. That's what I am.
Definitely answered the following question.
What?
It was just kind of like how that affected your identity.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Totally. And thinking about future generations and knowing that they might hear this recording.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if they will or not.
Please don't send this to, like, any of my children. Please do not contact my children.
Unless they're mine.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, what?
Please stop trying to marry us.
Is there wisdom or advice that you could give to, like, future generations?
Start your college apps earlier.
Nice.
I'm sorry. I'm just literally only thinking ever about college apps. Future generations. Well, if I ever run for president, don't, like, leak this.
Okay.
Just pinky promise.
Right now.
Okay.
There we go.
Or do. Maybe it'll be make me more fun and relatable.
Probably, actually.
With all the angsty, like, teen voters that grew, like, that are us now, that grew up to be, like, angsty middle-aged voters.
Oh, God. Do you think we'll be...
I'm so sorry. Huh? Maybe. Wisdom for future generations. This is the last question.
No, there's two... Well, okay. So, one is, like... Yeah. So, like, what is, like... What do you want to, like... So, here. I'll put two together.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is your... Like, how do you want to raise kids? Like, what is the best way that you think?
How would I raise my own kids?
Yeah.
Like,
what would you say to them? Like, one thing.
One thing I would say to them, besides starting college apps earlier. Probably the same thing that my dad has told me, my mom and my dad, is it doesn't happen unless you try.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, sort of, like, coffee mug, like, live, love, laugh. Eat, pray, love type of thing.
Yeah.
But it's been relevant, I think, in my life. Nothing happens unless you make it happen.
Yeah, you work very hard.
And so that's something I've learned a lot from both my parents, whereas if you want something to happen, you have to put in the time and effort to do a good job at it and to make it happen and make it something you'd be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how I try to run a lot of my life.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want... Okay, I didn't choose these questions before I chose you, by the way. Or I did. I chose them before I chose you. Is there anything you want to tell me now that you've never told me before?
Let's see. How many more questions after this?
One.
What's the last one?
That one's like the end.
That's the end? Okay.
Yeah, you can.
Probably that my grandma's not doing too well. Bubble Beth. I don't know if I told you that. But she's been in and out of the hospital a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so that's been really hard on my dad, because he has to manage, like, her finances now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she's very forgetful to the point where it's a little frightening.
Mm-hmm.
But she forgets to eat. Her house is a mess because she thinks that anyone that comes into her house to help clean is stealing something or something crazy like that. And so it's a lot on my whole family, especially my dad, because he takes it, because his other brothers, we're the closest family. His other brothers are in Manhattan or San Francisco or New York. And so they can't physically do as much as my dad can. But my grandma is like, she is so stubborn in her independence. And as you grow older, you get more dependent on other people. It's the point of not being shitty to your family. So they want to take care of you when you're an old dude. And so that's probably like one of the biggest struggles going on in my life right now. Which I haven't really talked about much.
I didn't know. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. Last question. This was my own question.
This is your own question.
Yes. Do you think you're beautiful?
Do I think I'm beautiful? That's a fun question. I know that I try not to answer vainly, but I get told it a lot.
Yeah, you do.
I know, but I think it's a part of this thing. Maybe the whole journey thing is that I hear it a lot, and I've heard it a lot my whole life. Probably because I have these such great parents and such great role models. I try really hard in like a lot of things, and I hear it a lot, but I don't necessarily feel it all the time. And so there's that conflict of I'm just sort of faking it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like sort of a fraud. Like everything's of like everyone, like beyond just like a physical attractive whatever.
You can put your definition on whatever you want.
People say it a lot, but I don't feel like I earn it all the time. And I don't feel like I'm worthy of that type of praise. And so I think, do I think I'm beautiful? I don't know. I struggle with it a lot, I guess. Just like anyone does. It's a human conflict. It's a human conflict. But it's definitely something that I get insecure about because I see, I'm the only person in my head. I see the things I think, and I'm like, you have this inflated idea of how great I really am. I'm not as great as you think I am. It's hard to live up to those expectations, and I want to. So I think that's a lot of stress sometimes. Like I have made an expectation for myself that I will get A's in classes because that's it, 'cause I can do it. It's a lot of work, but I can do it. And sometimes people are like, "Oh, you're so smart. You do it. You're so great at it. It's like a stroll in the park. You're killing it." I'm just like, I'm really not killing it. It's hard. It's hard for everyone. I feel like everyone has this feeling. And so, like, it's just weird.
Like.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that you are beautiful.
Thank you.
And that you wouldn't look me in the eyes.
Thank you.
And I think that, like, you definitely deserve it because from what this has just told us is just kind of one of those things where like you actually try and to me that is like a major contender of what like I think beauty is like if you care about yourself and other people, that's just a beautiful quality to have. Not to mention your exterior looks, it's a but like I think inside that you're just as good as you are on the outside and a lot better.
Thank you.
And I know that you don't feel that all the time, but if you ever need affirmation,
she's holding my hand.
I'm holding his hand. I can hold your hand.
Okay.
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 Okay. We're done.
Yay.
Yay.
Did I answer your question sufficiently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
What project is this for again?